And before I forget, thank you very much for my appreciation gift. And I like to be appreciated, and I appreciate you appreciating me. Well, I don't know if I can say that again, but I appreciate that. And then I appreciate the birthday gift as well. I don't appreciate the birthday. I guess it's better than the alternative and so forth. But anyway, that's why I text my sister the other day. She turned, was it 44? I think it's something like, well, she probably don't appreciate me saying that over on the live stream, but anyway, I told her, I was like, oh, it's just a number. I was like, you know, I feel 30 and I act 20. And so, you know, it's just a number. And so anyway, so she didn't agree with me. So, but anyway. All right, tonight we are going to continue in our study in the book of Matthew. And again, I've enjoyed it, and this will be, I think most everybody in here has probably heard this, but some of us, we hear stuff enough that we kind of we adopt it, or we try to kind of let it be a part of our way of thinking. Like we've all heard, judge not, judge not, judge not, judge not so much that we think we're not supposed to judge in any facet where the Bible tells us to. And Jesus here is teaching them in how to do it properly. He was saying basically, before you make any type of judgment, you know, obviously we can't judge people if they're saved or lost. That's just between them and God. We can't judge people's motives because we can't see. God looks on the heart. So God can see if they're saved or lost, and God can see their motive. But we can see their attitudes. Obviously, attitude is visible sometimes. If you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. The hand on the hip, the tapping of the foot, and, you know, I'm not going to tell me what to do. You can see the attitude, all right, and so forth. So what Jesus was saying here is that, you know, we do have to make judgments, and I'm going to show you several verses where God commands us to make a judgment. So what he's going to show us here that, you know, we need to, just like our parents taught us, you worry about you, mostly. All right? And if you can get that down, then you might can help somebody out. Because that's what the whole thing here in Matthew is. Matthew 7. He saw the mote and the beam. And he wanted to help his friend. He wanted to help his neighbor. But God was like, look, you know, how can you help him remove that out of his eye when you got something bigger? So what we need to do first of all is, if we want to help anybody to be saved, if we want to help anybody grow in their Christian life, iron sharpeneth iron. If we're going to make any type of judgment, we got to be able to see clearly. That's what he's saying. So look at yourself, you know, at like this. I'm a lost sinner, but I'm saved. That's looking at myself not more highly than I ought and thinking that I've arrived, but I'm not perfect, but I'm forgiven. I'm saved. So I can see it that way. And then when we were looking at somebody that may have a problem in their Christian life, they're backslidden or they haven't grown, maybe spiritual growth has been retarded, things like that, and we want to help them. The only way to do that is to be able to look at it clearly. I'm not better than them, kind of this statement, but for the grace of God, I would be just like that. There's somebody right there, you know, they're falling down drunk, and we ought not look at that and say, that, you know, piece of trash. We ought to say, but for the grace of God. Maybe they didn't grow up in a Christian home. Maybe they didn't hear the gospel. And so have our eyes cleared. Not judgmental, not pharisaical. And that's what this whole chapter is about. A lot of people, they grab that first verse and they say, don't you judge me. Don't you judge me. Don't you judge me. And when they're doing that, what they're doing is saying, don't look at my sin. They're basically saying, hey, look, I'm going to make an announcement. I'm a big old huge sinner. But don't you judge me about it. That's just me, and things like that. So, but God's teaching us here that we do have to have biblical judgment. In Proverbs, it's called discernment or discretion. In other words, that's making a judgment biblically based. And so, a lot of times we hear, don't judge, this is a judgment-free zone, all that kind of stuff. And again, if we're going to do it pharisaical, we ought not do it. But if we're doing it like Jesus was saying here, look, your brother has something in his eye. And if you want to help him, you have to have biblical perspective here. Look at yourself first. Get your stuff taken care of so you can see clearly. Then you can help him. And that's what this is talking about. So we're going to look here. We've been talking about King's principles. We've been in Matthew for a little while now. We saw the whole overview of Matthew. We saw the birth of the king, the credentials of the king, showing that Jesus obviously was able and fulfilled all the laws being a king. And then we talked about principles. In other words, his decision-making principles or his life-living principles. And not like a principle at the school, but something that you live by. And it ought to be biblical principles. And we saw the principles of true righteousness. All of ours is filthy rags. All of his that's been imputed into us makes us God's child, makes us forgiven. When God sees us, he sees us through Jesus' righteousness. Then we saw last week, we saw true worship. Whether it be giving, whether it be fasting, whether it be praying, all of it should be done in secret between you and God. Then he can reward you openly. That's true worship. We ought not do it for a show. We ought not be like the Pharisees. Hey, look at me. This is what I'm doing. We ought to do it for the God's glory. And that was true worship. And then tonight we're going to look at true judgment. And so I'm telling you, it's okay as long as you do it Jesus' way. If you're doing it like the Pharisees, looking down that pharisaical nose and says, I'm righteous and I'm a great Christian, but look at that trash. Look at that. I mean, they have issues. Then we're being pharisaical. God says, don't judge like that. You got a big old tree sticking out your eyeball and so forth. And so we're going to look at that tonight. So Jesus finished up this sermon. This is the Sermon on the Mount. He started with the blessings that we preached about this morning. And now he's ending up with, all right, we're going to have to use our noodle. But we need, and that's our brain. All right, but we need to be biblical with it. We need to be non-pharisaical with it. If we're doing it for the right reason, that we truly want to help that individual, then we have to be able to see clearly. And that's what he's talking about. So Matthew 7:1, we'll just go ahead and take time to read Matthew. Instead of jumping out and back out, we'll just read all of verse 7 real quick, and we'll see the points. But we're looking at true judgment, the way God says to judge people. All right? First of all, it says here, judge not that ye be not judged. And so, in other words, he's saying here, if you have issues, let's take care of them first. Because if you are going around judging, I'm judging you. And it says here, for that which ye what judgment ye judge. So verse 2 says that you can judge. And that judgment that you're going to use, and you're going to be judged that same way. So if you're hard on people, God says, I'll be hard on you. And the Bible, that principle's in there. He says, if you don't forgive, I'm not going to forgive you. So if you're judging pharisaical, I'm going to judge you tough. And again, we ought not, you know, just say, okay, just live like you want to. No, that's not really helping your brother. He's going around with that mote in his eye. So anyway, he says here, judge what judgment ye shall be judged, and with what measure of meat it shall be measured unto you. So again, worry about yourself and then truly want to help people. Then it goes on to say, verse 3, and when beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, be considerate not that, but considereth not the beam that is in thine eye. Here we go. How wilt thou say, thy brother, let me pull out thy mote out of thine eye, and then behold the beam that is in thine own eye. And so, of course, he's giving an example here. If he's got like a like a little toothpick in his eye or a twig, something really small. And then you got a telephone pole or a slab. You can't get over there close enough to him to get that little twig out of his eye before you take it out of yours. So God's saying, okay, if you're making a judgment, and the only reason you're making that judgment is so you can help that person, okay, then let's take care of that beam out of your eye first. Then he goes on to say, thou hypocrite. If you're always looking at their problem but not seeing yours, you're a hypocrite. First, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of the brother's eye. So there it is, right there. So if I take care of myself first, get rid of my issues, ask God to help me with my issues, and I've grown to the point that I'm not going to be a stumbling block, I'm not going to be a bad testimony, I actually can help that person, maybe like teach a Sunday school class and help that person, pray for that person, encourage that person, I'm seeing clearly. I'm able to help him, not being judgmental here, just pointing out the facts. No, if I'm going to say it, I probably wouldn't say it out loud in front of everybody. I would say it privately. Why? Because I want to help that individual. And say, look, I battled that same issue. And so I'm looking at this clearly here. I want to be able to help you get that out of your eye. So that when we get to that point, verse 6 says here, give not that which is holy unto dogs. In other words, we're not doing this and just throwing all the, you know, everybody's dirty laundry out there. All right, we don't do that. Neither cast thy pearl before the swine. So again, the people that gave the meat on the altar, they wouldn't give it to dogs, and they didn't just throw it out. It was there for significance. So same thing here. You don't cast your pearl before the swine. You don't take people that are living a pearl type life. They have maybe some stuff together with God's help. They are shining, like the Bible tells us to shine. They are living a life trying to be pleasing to God. So you don't just throw those people to the swine. And it says here, in their feet, and turn again, and rend unto you. And then it says here, ask, and it shall be given. So in other words, what I'm supposed to ask for is, God, help me with my issues to get this out of my eye. And God says, if you ask, He'll answer you. Because the reason I want to be right with you, and the reason I want to be an example, and the reason I want to help people is because I believe that's what you want me to do. And so now that you've helped me get, with your help, my life kind of in check, so now I can help this person. So if you ask, it says you seek, and you shall find, knock, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and he that knocketh shall be opened unto you. So if you want to help people, that's what Jesus is saying here. You got to take care of yourself first. And then you can help. And then on verse 9, and what man is there of you whom I shall ask his son, or ask bread will he give a stone, and if you ask him a fish, he would give him a serpent. And so again, so if you're asking God for help to help somebody, God's going to give you that. Then if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to you that ask Him. Therefore, because of all this, you take care of your beam and or mote, and you want to help your friend, you ask God to give it to you. And therefore, all things whatsoever you shall, that men shall do unto you, even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Either, or enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth into destruction, and many be which go in thereat. And so, of course, obviously we know this principle. There's a lot of people that they work salvation, that's a broad gate. Baptism, regeneration, that's a broad gate. Calvinism, that's a broad gate. The straight and narrow is accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And so many people are going to fall for that false doctrine, but very few is going to stay on the straight and narrow. So same thing here. A lot of people are going to say, judge not. And that's just where they leave it at. And some people say, well, I am supposed to judge, and we're going to see some here in a minute, but I got to judge me first. Get all my ducks in a row before I can help anybody. And so then it goes on and says here, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and a few therein that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you as sheep in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. And so I just mentioned some of those people. They might say the exact same thing that I would say. If you listen to them preach, they might preach what I would preach. But if they're saying that right there saved you, that's wrong. That's like a wolf that's going to eat you up, and your soul's going to burn in hell one day. All right? And if they're saying, God created some for heaven and some for hell, so it really don't matter. That's like a sheep in wolf's clothing, and so forth. And work salvation. And if they're saying anything like that, it says here, ye shall know them by their fruits. How can you look at a fruit tree and say, well, that's an orange tree? You judgmental person, you. Well, there they hang right there. They're oranges. I can't believe you are so judgmental. How dare you not let that be an apple tree if it wants to be? Sounds kind of like, I can be what I want to be, whatever I identify with, and things like that. But it says right here, by their fruits you shall know them. So we're supposed to be fruit inspectors. And it says here, do men gather them thorns and figs and thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And so again, we're supposed to be helping people. We're supposed to be judging ourselves, helping people in their life and things like that, producing fruit. Wherefore, by these fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So again, there's some so-called preachers are going to get to heaven and they're not going to get to be let in. And they're going to say, well, we prophesied in your name. And we did this and we did that. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And that's right here's where it's found. Many of them will say that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name hast cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. I mean, we were working out. We were getting these motes out of people's eyes and these beams out of people's eyes. And then will I confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. In other words, just like the Pharisees, the only reason they were doing it was to be seen of men. You know, I got this person saved to be seen of men. Or I got this person baptized to be seen of men. Or I got this person to give up this to be seen of men. And if that was the only reason, you never got saved. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken to him unto a wise man that buildeth his house upon a rock. And a couple Sundays ago, we preached on that wise man and laying that foundation, dig deep. And then the rains descended and the floods came up and the winds blew and beat upon the house and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock or a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to the foolish man which buildeth his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And the last couple of verses here it says, and it came to pass that when Jesus ended these sayings, he was finishing up this sermon, and it says here, and the people were astonished at his doctrine, that he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And so those scribes, obviously, they were more about the show, and they wanted to condemn people. And they wanted to judge them, and they wanted to point out their faults in public. You know, and that's what the Pharisee and the publican that came to pray. I'm not like that man over there. He does this, and he does that. So in other words, he wasn't doing it for the right reason. He wasn't judging that person for the right reason. If he'd have said, "There's a sinner that Jesus died for, just like me," in other words, got his eyes cleared, but his eyes were fogged up because of his Pharisaicalism. And so we see that that's what this whole thing is about. It says here, judge not lest you be judged. But we're going to see here, and I've told you this already, but we're going to look at a few verses where God is basically saying, maybe not with the word judge, but telling us to make judgments. Biblical judgments. Not Pharisaical judgments. Not I'm better than thou judgments. But for the grace of God, I'd still be lost. But for the grace of God, I'd be a drug addict. But for the grace of God, I'd be out of church. But God's helped me, and so I want to keep my eyes clear, not let any of that get back in my eyes so I can help people. I want to produce fruit. I don't want to get hewn down and cast into the fire. So the Bible tells us to make careful biblical judgments. Philippians 1, 9, and 10. Philippians 1, 9, and 10 says this, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more. So now that you're saved, and you're learning the Scriptures, and you're becoming a disciple, you're becoming what God wants you to become. I want your love for the lost, the love for God. Maybe even the Bible says the love for your enemies. I want it to abound more. Keep your eyes clear here. Don't let motes and beams get in your eye. Why? And more in knowledge, and here it is, and in all judgment. So God says here that I want you to make judgments, but I want you to do it in love. And so, if we're doing it out of Pharisaicalism, I'm better than you. I'm better than you. I'm better than you. God says, don't judge like that. All right? But if we can say, God saved me, don't know why, but He allowed me to hear the gospel. He allowed me to learn some truths in the Word of God. He's allowed me to not succumb to that temptation. He's allowed me to resist Satan. He's allowed me to grow to the point that I'm actually being a light and I'm actually being the salt of the earth. Now I want to help people. I want to produce some fruit. That's how He wants us to judge, out of that love to help people. Verse 10, it says here, that ye may approve. So to approve something, you have to make a judgment. I approve that, or I disapprove that. What is that? A judgment. Okay? In other words, if there's somebody that they're living a lifestyle that I don't approve of, again, I can't get Pharisaical. I've grown to the point that I don't do like that lowly sinner. That's wicked. That's wrong. And God's like, you're going to get judged for that. That's Pharisaicalism. But if I say, spiritually speaking, here's somebody that maybe has not had the same road that I got to travel. They haven't heard the same preaching that I've heard. Maybe God hasn't allowed things to come into their life like He has mine. So I want to pray for that person. I want to help that person. And so I approve all things, it says here, that are excellent and that you may be sincere. So if I've got my eyes cleared and I'm making a non-Pharisaical judgment and I'm doing it sincerely, God's like, that's what I want you to do. You have to make the judgment. It says right there, in all judgment. And then the verse says this, without offense till the day of Christ. So if you do it with sincerity, from a heart of love, to help somebody, it won't be offensive. God will help you. And I've been able to say, look, I'm no better than you are. I should be burning in hell right now. But God saved me. And this sin that you're involved in, it's going to ruin your life. And I'm going to pray for you. And I love you. And I want God to give you the victory over that. Most of the time, they say, you're right. I struggle with this. And I appreciate you praying. They're not offended. But if you go in there and say, you sorry scoundrel, you backslidden heathen, you're no good for nothing, God ought to just kill you, they'll get offended. But that's not in love, and that's Pharisaicalism. But that's what He's saying here in Matthew 7. If you'll do it because you really want to help them, and that's not a guarantee. I've had people get mad at me. But if you're saying, look, I want to help you. I'm not going to put it on Facebook. I'm not going to tell everybody else in the church. But, you know, again, God can give you the victory over this. I had that same beam in my eye, and God delivered me from it. That, you know, that alcoholism, you can help somebody overcome alcoholism. Pornography, you can help somebody. I mean, whatever God's helped you get that big old stick out of your eye, and you honestly say, that was killing me, that was hurting me, and I was not being what God wanted me to be. But now He's delivered me from that, and I'm living a blessed life, and I want everybody else to experience that. Then you're sincere. So we see here that we're supposed to make those judgments and those approvals or disapprovals, but we're supposed to do it without offense. Again, that's what a lot of these Twitter people and these Facebookers out there that rip everybody a new one, they're doing it so people think they're smart. They're doing it so people think they're spiritual. They're doing it, you know, to get a name for themselves. But that's what God's saying. Look, you're being offensive. If you actually want to help. And I'm going to read you, I told you I would, I'm going to read you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 verses where the Bible tells you to be judgmental. To be judge. You know, you have to make a judgment call here. But you need to do it sincerely, with love, and without offense. And if you do that, God will help you in these areas. Here's one. Mark and avoid. Romans 16:17. The Bible tells you to mark them and avoid them. So if you don't make a judgment call, you can't mark them. And you can't avoid them. So these are people that maybe the Bible says people can get to the point where God will even turn them over to the reprobate mind for the destruction of the flesh. God's saying, I can't even help them. So there's no way you can help them. And this person, you know, maybe, for instance, maybe I haven't grown enough in my Christian life, so I can't help that person yet. I still got a little bit of a tree limb right here. So I need to mark and avoid that person because they're gonna make that tree limb get bigger. But anyway, it says here in Romans 16:17, now I beseech ye brethren, I beg you brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. So that, and there's other verses where the Bible says, be careful. I think I used one of them this morning. Be careful for those people creeping in unawares. They're preaching another gospel, or they have different doctrine than that book right there says. The Bible says, mark them and avoid them. Well, you know, I can witness to them, and I can pray for them. But, you know, for instance, you know, baptism or regeneration, I need to mark that person. I can tell them, say, look, it's not baptism. You know, the thief on the cross didn't get baptized. We've seen other people in the Bible that didn't get baptized, but they went to heaven. And so that's not doctrine. Okay? Salvation in Christ by faith, not of works, which any man should boast. That's how you get saved. So, but if somebody's preaching that, I'm supposed to mark and avoid them. How about work salvation? Mark them and avoid them. Calvinism, mark them and avoid them. The Bible says, I beg you, make a judgment here. That person's preaching and teaching and living wrong doctrines. I need to mark and avoid. Limit my fellowship with them. Why? So they don't affect me. Some people are smarter than I am. Some people can wax eloquent way better than I can. And so they might be teaching a lie, but it sounds better than my truth. Because I'm just a dumb old redneck. And so here's Mr. Wax Eloquent and sounds like he's got 15 degrees behind his name. And he's teaching eloquently a lie. I'm going to listen to that. We got to mark and avoid. Here's one, Jude 3:4. Jude verses 3 and verse 4. There's only one chapter. Verse 3 uses these words, in all diligence. So God's saying here, I want you to make a judgment. I mean, using all diligence. Dot every I, cross every T. Be very careful. So he's telling Jude here, I want you to love. Okay, and I want you to be sincere. And I want you to want to help people. But I don't want you to get hurt. So in all diligence, you make your judgment call. And then it goes on to say this. Earnestly contend for the faith. Yeah, you might be smarter than me, and you might sound more spiritual than me, but what you're saying is wrong. And I'm going to earnestly contend here. Then it goes on here and says here, for certain men crept in unawares. So we're supposed to make a judgment with all diligence and earnestly contend with that judgment. Matthew 7:15. Matthew 7:15. The first word says, beware. Judgment. Now, when you're out knocking doors and there's a fence and there's a sign hanging on that fence that says, beware of dog. You got to make a judgment. Okay? Am I going in that gate or am I not going in that gate? There were two houses Saturday. They may have seen me coming. I don't know. But they had, where the dog has the cable attached to the porch. And he's running outside on the cable. There was two like that. And I came up to the house. And, rah, 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 rah. I was like, I'm making a judgment here. All right. And praise the Lord, they had the mailbox with the little box under it. All right. I can't put a track in that mailbox because that's illegal. But if there's a box underneath, whoop, see you, little puppy. I made a judgment. I was like, God, help them to see that track, help them not to blow away, and let them get the gospel. But I'm not getting bit today. Right? I made a judgment. And so we see, it says here, beware. So you make some judgments here. Beware of what? Of false prophets, which come to you as sheep in clothing, but inwardly as a ravening wolf. In other words, I'm not supposed to let people pull the wool over my eyes. I got to make a judgment. And the Bible talks about our spirit-bearing witness. In other words, like Brother Emmett was here this morning. He didn't give me no heebie-jeebies. My spirit bear witness with him. I know he's saved. I know he goes to Brother Aaron's church. He was down here visiting his mom, doing some work. And my spirit bear witness with him. But there may be somebody that comes in here one day that you just get this little queasy thing. And then all of a sudden at the end of the service, he's passing out literature, that has false doctrine on it. And you're like, whoa, I felt that. That's what he said. Beware. Make a judgment here. Now, the devil can obviously magnify that. We can become cynical and we can just hate people and we become Pharisees. We're better than everybody. No. Let's be sincere. Let's love. And let's pray and ask God to help us to bear fruit and help people. So we got to beware of those false prophets because they're in sheep's clothing. They look, sound like your pastor, but they're teaching false doctrine. They're wolves. Here's another one, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. How dare you be so judgmental? When my kids were getting to the marrying age, I wanted them to be judgmental. I don't care how cute she is. If she's not saved, don't you ask her out. That's judgmental. Sorry. That's what it's in here. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. So you have to make a judgment. I'm not going into the business with somebody that's not saved. Or I'm not going to get married to somebody that's not saved. Be not unequally yoked. We have to make a judgment. So we see, that brings us to the outline here. God tells us to use judgment, discretion, and discernment. But we got to wrap it in love. We got to wrap it in sincerity. We got to wrap it and be really, really careful. Because broad's that way that will lead to Pharisaicalism and being judgmental, things like that. We've got to be spiritual. And the Bible says in Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. So again, I don't want to come across skeptical. I don't want to come across as Pharisaical. So I want to be sincere. And I want to give people a space of grace, as the Bible kind of explains. And not be cynical and not be Pharisaical, but love. If I really want to help them get that out of their eye, obviously my eyes have to be clear. So we see here we're all raised to worry about ourselves. That's what our parents told you and told us. If we had a brother or sister that we pointed out their faults, we were good at that. But mom and dad would tell us, hey, you just take care of yourself. That's what Jesus is saying here in Matthew 7. Take care of your eyes first. And if you get to the point where you're living and you're growing and you actually can see clearly and you actually want to, with love and sincerity, help people, I will let you do it. And so make the right kind of judgment. So before we can be careful on the judgment of anyone, we have to judge ourselves biblically. And that's what it says here in chapter 1. We have to judge ourselves. In other words, go look in the mirror and take care of what's in your eye first. So, because of that, we see in verse 1, why should we judge ourselves first? Because we're going to be judged. And so just like we're going to judge people, we're going to be judged. And if we're Pharisaical, it's going to be harsh on us. If we're pointing out people's faults, that's what it's going to be for us. So the Pharisee was very good at judging others, but not very good at judging himself. And that's what God was saying here. He's walking around with a telephone pole, pointing out people's toothpicks. And so, again, we ought not get to that point. So, it says here, and we judge and how that we like to be judged. The third thing is about we're going to be judged because we must be able to see clearly. In verses 3 through 5, it says, get rid of that out of your eye. Then you'll be able to see clearly and help your brother get rid of his beam or mote. So when we judge ourselves biblically, our eyes will be clear. And then we can help others properly get to where they need to be in their Christian life, that beam and that mote. So when we judge, we can judge people's actions and attitudes, but we cannot judge the motives. We talked about that earlier. So the position, it is possible to do good with bad motives. And those people that say, haven't we prophesied in your name? They went around doing good, but it had bad motives. They were trying to earn their way to heaven, and they got cast out because they didn't get saved. So, but we are also can be good, but fail. Have good motives, but fail. Let's go to Colossians 3. Colossians 3, we're going to read three or four verses. Colossians 3, verses 22 through 25 talks about this. Okay, God says, be not unequally yoked. God says, mark and avoid. God says, we have to have the right kind of perspective here. So in verse 22, it says here in Colossians 3, verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. So obviously kids, obey your parents. Workers, employees, obey your bosses. We're supposed to obey those that have the rule over us according to the flesh. And then it says here, not with eye service as men pleasers. In other words, don't just do what you do just so you don't want to get in trouble or get caught or disappoint. We're supposed to do it for the right reason, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. So whether my mom or dad was looking, I'm going to tell the truth. Whether my mom and dad was looking, I'm going to treat my sister right. Whether my mom and dad was looking, I'm going to do what they said to do while they were gone. In other words, you're not doing it just so you don't get in trouble, but you're doing it because it's right to do. Verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. And so what God wants us to do is, I'm trying to help you see clearly here. Get that beam out of your eye and realize that God sees everything you do. He knows everything you think. And there's nothing we can hide from God. So if we're just realizing that, and we're going to love people, and we're going to be sincere, and we're going to try to help, everything else will fall in place. If I'm pleasing God, my mom and dad's going to be happy with me. If I'm pleasing God, and whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all thy might, and do it heartily as unto the Lord, my boss is going to be happy with me. So that's what he's saying. So there, in verse 24, there, knowing that the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So we see here that God's watching. So if I just please him in my sincerity, some people might say that person, he's trying to, he's not trying to help them. He's just pointing out they're wrong. He's being pharisaical, and he's being judgmental. But if God knows my motive, that I'm really trying to help that person and God's happy, I can't help what people think. So we ought to do our best. So Romans 2:16 says this, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of man by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So one day we're going to stand before God and give an account for every idle word that we've said, every action, every reason that we did what we did. So God uses the eye in this case because an eye is so sensitive. I mean, one little speck can do some serious damage. Right now, if I took off my glasses and opened up this right here, my wife got me some Visine this afternoon. I think the other day, working out in the yard, I got something in there. I mean, it's so small I can't see it, but I can feel it. All right? And so that one little speck is causing me to be blurry, causing me not be able to see, things like that. And so that's what it's saying here, that God uses the eye. And the Bible talks about how the eye is the influence of the whole body. Why? Because we see it. And that's what brings it in there. Data in, data out to the old brain. How did we see it? We saw it, or we heard it. Got in there. And so God is using the eye here to show us, hey, it's very sensitive. It can be irritated like that. And obviously, if you get a big old tree in it, it can be very, very painful. So James 1:22 and through 25, I'll read that to you. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it. James 1:22 through 25 says this, and be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to the man beholding his natural face in a glass. Obviously, that's a bunch of words saying looking in the mirror at yourself. And it says here, and he beholdeth himself. So when you look in the mirror, that's what you usually do. You behold yourself. Oh, there's self. How you doing today, self? Good to see you. And it says here, for he beholdeth himself, but he goeth his way, and straight forth forgetting what manner of man he was. And so this principle of judging is God saying, okay, I want you to look at yourself. And when the Holy Spirit says, you have an issue here, you're wrong here, you're going at this way the wrong, I want you to fix all those things. But it says here, that person looks in the mirror, sees that he's got bedhead, sees that he's got acne, sees that he hadn't brushed his teeth in 3 months, so there's green fungus growing on him, and I'm all right, and just goes on his way. All right, then he's going to gross people out. Like, dude, bedhead at work again? I mean, skank breath, stand 10 feet from me when you say good morning, because you're just knocking me down. In other words, he's ignoring what the mirror is saying. You need to fix this, and you need to fix this, and you need to fix this. Because that person has no business and cannot help anybody else because of all his issues. But it says if we look in that and we see that in the mirror is the Word of God. But it says here, he goes his way and what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetter, a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, and the man shall be blessed in his deed. In other words, he looks in the mirror, and the mirror says, comb your hair. The mirror says, put some Clearasil on. The mirror says, brush your teeth. The mirror says, do this and do that. Done it, goes out of the house, looking sharp. That person can help somebody else because he or she has done what the Word of God says, and they've gotten to the place. And that's what he's saying here. You've got to make some judgments, but you have to judge yourself first. So Philippians 2:4 says this, look not every man on his own, but every man on also on the things of others. Here's another verse that tells you to be a judgmental. We're not only supposed to look on the things of ourselves, but then we're supposed to look on things of others. And all of us could testify to this. The day I got saved, the first thing I thought about, who in my family's not? Why? Because I had gotten that taken care of. Now, I wanted everybody else to get that taken care of. And the first time I learned that this was the Word of God, or the first time I learned any doctrine in that book, or the first time I learned that this is how a Christian is supposed to live, look, act, and behave himself, I want to help everybody else. Why? Because I see the blessings of God that comes from doing what the Bible says, and not a hearer only. All right? But a hearer and a doer, and then God's going to bless that person. So Proverbs 27:17 says this, iron sharpeneth iron. So man's countenance, or so sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So that's judgmental. I'm trying to help my friend. They need some help. And I don't want to be a stumbling block, so I want to be a help. So if we do not properly judge ourselves, we cannot properly judge others. So make careful judgment in judging ourselves. We saw Matthew 7:1-5. Now we can see once we've judged ourselves, we've looked in the mirror, we've done what the mirror said. We're not hearers of the word, but we're doers of it. We've grown to the place that we're trying to, God's watching my every move, but I actually want to help people. I want to help be salt. I want to help be the light. I want to help be an influence and an encouragement, not a stumbling block. So once I've judged myself, then we can start judging others. And that's found in verses 6 through 20. We won't take time to read it again. We've already read it. But it says here, we must exercise discernment. Okay, not everybody is going to be a sheep. And in those verses it says, hey, look, be careful for those dogs. Be careful for those hogs. Be careful for those wolves. Everybody you're trying to help is not going to be a sheep. And we've got to be careful. We use discernment. So God says, we all might be God's sheep, but we never need to let people pull the wool over our eyes. So why? For the reason we must judge is verse 6. Verse 6 says, give not them which are holy unto the... give not that which is holy unto dogs. So we've got to make judgment. This is holy. I'm not going to give it. Neither cast your pearl before the swine. I've felt the Holy Spirit do this before. If you're outdoor knocking, if you're out soul winning, things like that, and you walk up maybe to a group, and I've had, people be very disrespectful, maybe even curse, and the Holy Spirit's like, don't cast your pearl before that swine. Now, I have had some leave that group and say, hey, I'll listen to what you had to say. And you get it away from that hog or that dog, and that person might be willing to listen. And so sometimes, and I've seen people do that just because they've got to keep their reputation up. And they're a jerk to the spiritual people in front of the cool guys, because they're trying to keep that. And you get them away from that, and then they'll talk to you. So that's what's saying here. Cast thy pearl not before swine. So in other words, if you're trying to help somebody, and they're just going to act like a bunch of pigs, I tried. That's what it's saying. So anyway, the reason that we must judge, 2 Corinthians 4:7 says this, but we have a treasure in earthen vessels. So in other words, God's given us salvation. God's given us the Holy Spirit. God's given us discernment and discretion that we can use to be, to judge with. God's given us those treasures in our earthen vessel, that the excellency of power may be of God and not of us. So if we are able to help anybody remove a tree out of their eye, just like we were preaching this morning, it wasn't us. It wasn't Paul. It wasn't Apollos. God gave the increase. So we see we're not going in there, we're the judge and the jury, and we're going to convict everybody. No, we're just going to be helpful. God helped me get this out of my eye. I can see clearly now that the rain is gone. And don't start singing that. But anyway, I can see clearly, and I'm going to help you. And so we see that God is the one that does that. So a dedicated priest would not throw the meat that they used on the altar to the filthy dogs. Only a fool would cast his pearl before the hogs. And it says here, while this is true, we must carry the gospel to every creature, the Bible says. So we've got to use judgment. And that's what I'm saying. Sometimes you can tell when they open that door. You can see the facial expression. You can see the demeanor. And you're just like, hey, I just want to give you this invitation to church. You have a nice day. Because if you said, are you going to heaven? Boy, you're going to get it. I mean, they're going to let you have it. I'm not casting my pearl today. So here you go. Read that track. Have a nice day. We'll see you. That's what it's saying. So we have to use judgment. Listen to the Holy Spirit, because He's put inside this earthen vessel the Holy Spirit that can bear witness to help us. So this is true that we don't want to cheapen the gospel. We don't want to make it of non-effect, the Bible says. So if we're trying to just argue with them and they argue back, that's a non-effect. They probably got even more determined to not listen to you. And I don't want your help. I'm happy with this beam in my eye. Leave me alone. That's what I'm saying. We have to use judgment. Now, if they're saying, man, I'm having a rough time, Holy Spirit says, ding, ding, ding. Hey, tell them you're praying for them. Hey. So then we can start casting. So we have to make those judgment calls when we're judging other people. Again, I gotta get another slash in my New Testament because I led someone to Christ. That's not what it's about. It's about helping somebody. So again, we listen, and the Holy Spirit's like, no, they're being a hog today. Don't cast that pearl. They're gonna cuss you, or they're gonna get even more mad. Just be nice. And that way, I've heard of this happening. They take the track, and you were nice. Have a nice day. And then lo and behold, something happens in their life. A catastrophe. And they find that track, and they call a church. But if I'd have said, you're going to die and fry today, buddy. I'm trying to help you get that mote and that beam out of your eye. If you just shut up and listen. That's why the Holy Spirit's like, don't do that. Don't argue. The Bible says, remove thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he so hate thee. So sometimes the Holy Spirit's like, look, I know you've judged yourself and you've allowed yourself to be saved. You've grown to the point and you're marking and avoiding. And you're not being unequally yoked and you're making proper judgments. And here's somebody you're trying to help, but they don't want it today. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Don't force the issue. It'll be, when God's in it, it'll be almost like, what must I do to be saved? It'll be that easy. I mean, the jail doors fell off, the chains fell off, and the guy's fixing to stab himself because, oh man, they're going to kill me anyway for letting all these prisoners. Oh, we're here. What? What must I do to be saved? I want what you got. So when we're making proper judgments, it'll be almost like that. So that fool, he said, I'm not casting my pearl. I'm not giving this meat to those dogs. It says here, Jesus refused to talk to Herod in Luke 23:9. I mean, Jesus himself. Herod's giving him down the road and asking him all these questions. He answered him not a word. Jesus was like, I'm making a judgment call here. It ain't going to help. I thought Jesus could do anything. He can. But he knew Herod wasn't listening. Paul refused to talk to a bunch of people that resisted the Word of God in Acts 13:44-49. You can read it. Paul was a great preacher. Paul had a great testimony. But here was people that hated the Bible, didn't want to have anything to do with it. And lack of a better term, Paul's like, I'm not wasting my time. He had to make a judgment. So we see here, we can judge others. And the resources that God gave us is found in verses 6 through 11. He gave us the resources to pray and ask. God, I'm asking you right here. I'll go cast this pearl. I'll risk getting cussed out. I'll risk making them mad. I'll do it. So I'm asking you how you want me to handle this. That's how he's saying, make these judgments. So prayer, it says here, when a human hath... He's fallible, so we must pray and ask God for wisdom. James 1:5. We're all lacking of wisdom, especially when it comes to making these judgment calls. God, what do I need? What do I need to say? How can I help get this beam out of their eye? I'm not trying to be pharisaical. I'm really, really wanting to help. So please give me wisdom here. Help me. And so then he gives you that guiding principle in verse 12. And it talks about what is known as the golden rule. And this is great when you're trying to help people. You treat them like you want to be treated. If you look down your Pharisaical nose and say, hey, I'm a Christian and I got it all together and I got it all figured out, and you're a piece of dog mess. All right? You have nothing together, and you're a sad, you know, excuse from a human. That's really going to help. No, the golden rule. You treat them like you want to be treated. And so, I mean, obviously, those of you that my wife, she's experiencing this right now, she's told those students at her school, I treat you with respect. You're going to treat me with respect. So it's a two-way street here. Respect. And so again, the Pharisee, he wasn't respectful to the publican. God, I'm not like that dog over there. That, you know, humble. He can pray all day long. I know you're not going to answer his prayer. No, he wasn't that way. That guiding principle, treat people like you want to be treated. The basics in judging, in verses 13 through 20, it says here, sincere. And be careful for those false prophets, that they'll sneak in. But the greater danger is self-deception. Okay, self-deception. We've got to be careful. We can become Pharisaical. I do have it all together. I've dotted all my I's, crossed all of my T's. I. Sounds like Satan. I will be like, and I will do this. So that self-deception is hurtful too. So the scribes and the Pharisees, they had fooled themselves into believing that they were righteous. They weren't sinful anymore. They had arrived. So they couldn't help anybody get a beam out of their eye because they had been self-deceived. So if it is possible for the people to have the right language, believe intellectually the right doctrine, obey the right rules, but still not be saved. That's a hard one to swallow, but it says it right there in that chapter. Depart from me. But God, we did this, and we did this. But they weren't doing it out of love, they weren't doing it out of sincerity, and they weren't doing it to help anybody. They just thought they had arrived. And God said, depart. So we got to judge others. And in this chapter, we see in verses 13 and 14, we see two ways, a broad, easy way, the popular way. The majority of the people, that's not always right. The straight and the narrow way, the lonely, the costly, the remnant, as the Bible calls it, but it was the right way. And in verses 15 through 20, we see two trees. The good tree that bear fruit and the bad tree that bear bad fruit. We have to make judgments. Make careful judgments. First of all, judge ourselves. Secondly, judge others. And the only reason we should do that is to actually try to help them. But if it's going to be casting my pearl, listen to the Holy Spirit. Throwing that meat to the dogs, listen. If they want the help, then you can help them. Number three, verses 21 through 29 talks about why should we judge ourselves and why should we judge others? Number three, because God is going to judge us based on how we judge ourselves and how we judge others. Now, I'm not saying, you know, be easy on yourself. It's just one cuss word. It's just one sip. It's no big deal. I'm not saying don't judge yourself. You know, I'm just going to give myself a break today and do this sin. You're being self-deceived. All right? And same thing out there. Don't be so hard on people. You know, you listen. And you treat them how you want to be treated, with kindness and love and things like that. Why? Because that's how God's going to base His judgment on you. So how can we prepare for this? And here's my last thing. How can we prepare for God's judgment? By doing His will. He's going to judge us whether we found and did His will. Doers of the Word or hearers only. That's how He's going to judge us. Found His will and did it, you'll be judged for the right ways. We're going to be judged by by obeying God's commands, by hearing the Word and doing them, by being fruitful, and bearing fruit, by being faithful to His house, by building our house on the rock, by helping people with a sincerity and a love, trying to really help them grow in their relationship with Christ, bearing those fruit, and being encouragement. That's how we can be judged. Amen? So, great Bible study there on, a lot of people say, judge not! But we saw, they're usually trying to cover up a sin. Don't look too close, because there's a sin. I don't want you to see it, so don't you judge me. Where the Bible says, judge. Mark and avoid. Don't be unequally yoked. But if you're really trying to help them, don't be Pharisaical. love them sincerely and try to help them get what's in their eye out. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. Lord, we thank you for the truth in the Bible. Obviously, when we look at it and we listen to you and let you teach it to us, we can see great truths. There's obviously cases in our life where we've tried to help people. They don't want it. We've got a pearl. We're just trying to give it to them. But they won't accept it. So, Lord, help us to listen to the Holy Spirit and step back and pray and let you work in their life so that one day they might want to hear it. Lord, help us to treat them like we should and treat them like we would want to be treated. Lord, thank you for all these principles. Lord, help us to apply them to our lives. Lord, let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to lead us an invitation. If you'd like to come pray, the altar's open. You can pray right there. Obviously, we all have to judge, but let's make biblical judgments. Brother Derek.